There is no doubt that God measures things differently than we do. No doubt in my mind. But we are called as Christians to gather an understanding of how God does measure things. I mean, we have that section of Scripture that talks about 1,000 days is like one day to God. God measures things completely differently than we do. And there's a need for us to grab a hold of that and understand that so that we can see a little bit better, at least, how God's working in this world. I think about, I know how God should measure me for what has happened in my life. And if I go back and consider what has happened in my life and how God would measure me by some of the things that I did before I came to know Jesus Christ, I'm glad that God measures things differently. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God measures things differently. And this passage of Scripture helps me to understand some of those measurements because it gives me an opportunity to dream a little bit, to imagine some, to think outside the box. I know we're adults. We're not supposed to imagine anymore. We teach kids that you get to a certain age and you don't imagine. You got to live by facts now. Well, I want you to listen to what Paul has to say in this scripture as we go through it. Because Paul does talk about imagination and the need for us as adults to continue to imagine. There's something about spending some time with young kids that helps you to imagine even more. Because they see things with new eyes. They don't see it the way that I always see things. And I always find that a great joy to see some things with new eyes. The very first thing that Paul tells us in this passage, though, is that Paul prays for an inner transformation for each one of us. An inner transformation for each one of us. You know, I used to think if I worked on the outside and did the right things like God wanted me to do and the ways that God wanted me to do that, that would change the inside. And in some ways that happens. But it happens so much better the other way. When God changes the inside of us and transforms that inside of us, we become very excited to do things outside of us. When that inner transformation happens first, that requires for us to open some doors and some avenues, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And Paul prays, I'm praying, Paul says for you, that inner transformation will happen for you. That inner transformation happens in such a way that it blossoms into something you've never considered before. It's not the outside. It's the inside. And we've got to let the Holy Spirit come into us and speak to us and talk to us and point at things that we need to take care of inside. Before I'm so concerned about taking care of things outside, I remember how Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. He told them, he said, you guys are so careful about things. So careful about how you do things. You wash the outside of the cup to make sure it's clean, but you don't make sure the inside's clean. You see, their heart hadn't changed. I don't know. Maybe you like drinking out of a dirty cup. But that's what happens in our spiritual lives if we're not letting God into us to clean that up. We can't do it on our own. The Holy Spirit has to guide us and teach us how to do that. And we need to pause and take time to listen. So Paul is praying that that inner transformation might happen for all of us. So many people have so much noise in their lives. Do you know why people can't handle silence? Because it just leaves you sitting with yourself. And then you find things here and here that you don't really want to look at. So you got to turn on some background noise to distract you so that you don't listen to what's here and what's here. Coming and sitting in silence is a perfectly good way to hear God better. That means turning off the TV. That means turning off the radio, turning off the music that you're streaming, and just sitting quietly and letting the Holy Spirit come and touch the places that need to be touched. And one of the things that happens when we allow that to happen is Paul expects us to be rooted and established in love as a community of believers. Rooted and established. Not just knowing about love. Not just being aware of what love is. But actually letting yourself grow right down into the love that God has for you. Letting your roots sink real, real deep into the incredible love that God has for you. The love that God just wants to pour into you in such a way that you'll never be able to contain it. Because once God starts pouring that love into you, it's going to flow into and it's going to overflow. What did David say in Psalm 23? My cup overflows. You see, God has an incredible, and I'm going to say this about myself, in spite of who I am, in spite of what I have done, irregardless of who I have been and what I have said and what I have thought, God loves me. Even when I've done wrong. God says, come here. Let me put my warm arms of love around you. Let me grab a hold of you in such a way that this love will never release you. Are you rooted in love that way? Not just in a relationship with God, but are you rooted in love in that way in a community of believers? I know there's people in our world that like to go to big churches. You know why some people like to go to big churches? Because I can hide. I can hide. Folks, we need to be part of a community that loves one another. I still battle in my life with depression. I've battled with it for a long time. And you know what really helps sometimes? When somebody just expresses how much they love me. Maybe they don't say it in words. Maybe they do something else to express it. But folks, we've got to do that for one another if we're going to grow into and be transformed into who God wants us to be. Without a community that's tight-knit and comes close together and is vulnerable and transparent and sharing what's in our hearts and what's happening for us and what God is teaching us, we won't learn that love. We won't be rooted and established in that love. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not, you can't understand the full measure of God's love for this world. You will not be able to understand God's measurements about love. You've got to be interactive and part of a community, sharing your heart and digging deep in Scripture, praying with one another. If there's one, well, I'm going to say there's two things out of the prayer group that happens on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock that are so wonderful for me. We've been doing it now for 2.5 years. Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, we get together and we just pray. We don't talk about prayer. We don't always share about what needs to be prayed. We just pray it. And that has been a wonderful, wonderful time. One of the reasons it's wonderful for me is because Jerry's in charge. I just get to show up and pray. It's not for me to lead. It's not for me to bring anything. And not that Jerry brings anything, but we just get together and pray. And one of the things that has happened in the midst of that group is we have grown closer and closer and tighter together because we have verbally prayed in each other's presence what we wish that God would do. I know Jerry's heart. I know Tommy's heart. I know Guy's heart. And many of the others of who have come, I know your heart because I hear you speaking it. And we can support and encourage one another in that. And I can follow up later and ask you how things were going and how things have happened and how has God answered that prayer? That's an exciting thing. Most of the weeks through, I want to say the first year and a half, there was only about 6 of us every week. Now there's 13. I wonder what it'll be next year. Just coming together and laying our hearts before God. And I know some people can't make it Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not pushing for that. I'm just saying that's one place in this church where I have been able to open my heart and let other people see it. And one of the things that I prayed this past week, I didn't tell anybody that I was going to pray it. Didn't talk about it beforehand. But this past week, I had an opportunity to sit with somebody that's within a few weeks or a month or so of their death. And I just pray for them. I know they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We talked about that as I visited with them last week. But there's so many lost dreams that they shared with me that they won't be able to live. And they're not that much older than me. And I just prayed for them and prayed for their family. Because in the short little time that I've been able to spend with this person, through the 8 years I've been here, I have come to love them. And it breaks my heart to know what has happened to them. And I didn't know it until a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to sit with them and just experience God's love better. I want to celebrate the fact that they're getting ready to stand before the presence of God and see their Savior. And we talked about that. That was an exciting thing. Folks, are you part of a community where you can share? Where you're deeply rooted and established in love? You know, Paul hopes for us to grab the full dimensions of the love of Christ. That's what Paul's hoping for. That's what he's praying for in this passage for the Ephesians. To know the full dimensions of the love of Christ. So many things happen in our world that we all don't get a chance to know those full dimensions because we're so busy with so many things. If someone ever asks you if they can sponsor you to go on a walk to Emmaus, as quickly as you can, say yes. as quickly as you can, say yes. You arrive on a Thursday night, and from Thursday night to Sunday afternoon, you get to hear 15 talks about how God loves you and how to grow that love with God. And you get to be overwhelmed by people showing you love, whether it's through a written note, whether it's just by presence, whether it's by what you hear from pastors who only have 5 of those talks on the weekend. The other 10 of those talks come from lay people that are part of churches. I can remember when I got to go on mine. One of the members of the church asked me, "Can I sponsor you?" I said, "Yeah." And I went over there on Thursday night not knowing at all what I was going to, didn't have a clue what I was signing up for. I could tell you everything that happens on the weekend. Everything. Because I've helped a number of times on the leadership team. You wouldn't believe if I told you. You would look at me and go, "No, that didn't happen that weekend." And as I keep telling you things and telling you things, you would go, "There's not enough time on a weekend for that to happen." I can tell you this. Came home on Sunday afternoon about supper time, and my kids didn't recognize their dad because something had happened to dad. Something incredibly good had happened to dad. Dad had come to understand how much Jesus Christ loves me. And all I wanted to do was love on them in tremendous ways. My wife thought I was a little weird, but she always thinks that. And then she got to go on her walk to Emmaus, I guess a couple of months later. And she came home and the kids said she changed too. What is this about understanding the love of God? Went away for the weekend and I didn't have to do nothing. Matter of fact, my sponsor picked me up, took me to the place they were having it, and left me. About an hour from home with no way to get home. Until they came back on Sunday to pick me up. And you know what? That was one of the best weekends I ever had. Because I came to understand how deep God loves me. And see, these are the dimensions that Paul wants us to think about. Paul wants us to think about how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of God. Thought about some dimensions that I know. And I know for some of you say, "Well, you know, that's not a real big dimension." But I want you to listen to some of these dimensions that I thought about. I grew up at the mouth of the James River on the Chesapeake Bay. The mouth of the James River where I grew up, emptying into the Chesapeake Bay, is 4 miles across. 4 miles across. I don't know what you say about that, but that's a pretty fur piece, don't you think? 4 miles. And I remember as a kid, my dad was helping us because he was going to take us canoeing in Maine, me and a bunch of other boys. And we had an opportunity to kind of do some workups and whatnot, getting ready to go to our canoe trip in the backwoods of Maine. And we paddled our canoes that 4 miles across and that 4 miles back. That's when it becomes a much further distance than what we think about. How wide? How long? The distance long for me is kind of caught up in what I watched them start to build as I was a young kid. My grandfather's house, my mother's parents, was actually right at the foot of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. That's where I grew up. Little freshwater lake that you go across. You guys here would call it a pond. We called it a lake down there. You go across this little lake, over the sand dune, and you're at the beach. Yeah, I had wonderful parking for when I wanted to go to the beach, by the way. Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel is 17 and a half miles across. On a good day, at the right place, you can see the high rise of the bridge 17 miles away. Absolutely incredible. By the way, for those of you that have traveled it, there's one thing you might want to know about the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Anybody ever been across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel? There's nothing bolted down. Just thought you'd want to know. The bridge is not bolted to the pilings in any way. It just sits on them. That's not crazy, by the way. It happens all the time that a ship gets run away, as in Baltimore earlier this year. A barge in a storm gets taken away from the pier and goes floating. And what happens if the bridge is only sitting on the pilings? It only tears up the section that it hits. Not everything that's all bolted together. That's why it's only sitting there. Just thought you might want to know that in case you go across it. How high? As a child, and also with my wife, we did it a few years ago. We went up Grandfather Mountain. Anybody ever been up Grandfather Mountain? It's a mile high. A mile high. That's quite a distance, really, when you think about it. How deep for me goes back to my teenage years. For two summers, I worked at a Boy Scout camp. I worked there for three summers, but for two summers, I worked as a lifeguard. And one of the things that happens on Sunday afternoons when kids come to camp is they all get on their swim trunks, they all march down to the waterfront. We had it on a lake. And they all have to take a swim test so that we know their ability to swim. And then we can tell them you can only be in the non-swimmers area, you can only be in the beginners area, you can be in the swimmers area. And they get nice little color-coded tags that let us know what their ability is. Well, one thing I learned very quickly on Sunday afternoons, young boys that come to camp that don't know how to swim don't want their buddies to know they don't know how to swim because that's embarrassing. You explain to them when you jump off this dock, it's 12 foot deep. You will not be able to touch bottom and swim. In 2 years, I can't tell you how many kids I jumped in and they were standing on the bottom with no movement whatsoever, just standing there, totally shocked and frightened. Had to ask every one of them, can you swim? Yes, I can swim. And after about 2 weeks, you could look at their face when they answered yes, and you knew whether you were jumping in or not. But I pulled many boys out of the bottom of the lake that were just standing there. They weren't even trying to struggle to get back to the surface, just standing on the bottom. And you pull them up, and you set them on the dock, and you say, I thought you told me you could swim. Well, I can, but I can't touch bottom here. And I'm like, I tried to tell you that before you jumped in. For me, that's always been something deep. Because as a young kid, taking swimming lessons, I jumped in and didn't swim and had to be pulled out. So I never learned how to swim until I was about 16. Yeah, I'm a beach bum. I know. That doesn't make sense. How deep? I can still see some of those kids' faces. If I close my eyes, I can see their faces. Just standing there on the bottom, not even moving. And having to grab a hold of them and pull them out. And then sometimes during that week, teaching them how to swim so that they did know how to swim. That was one of my greatest joys. Because I'm a great swimmer. Doesn't mean it doesn't scare me. I just have great respect for water where I can't touch bottom. How about how far is God's love? How far does God's love reach? Do you know what the closest galaxy is to our galaxy? Everybody knows that, don't you? You got it, Alan? The closest galaxy is the Andromeda Galaxy, and it is 2.6 million light years. From that galaxy, it takes 2.6 million years for the light to get from there to here. Now, I'm going to ask Alan to do some math for me here in a minute. But one light year is 5.8 trillion miles. How far is that? Got the math done already? Big number, right? Yeah, big number. 2.6 million light years. Now, let me do some supposing. Let's suppose I had an opportunity to go to the Andromeda Galaxy. Number one, I won't live long enough to get there. But say I could. Guess what? God's love would still be there. Already. That's how far God's love goes. Think about some of these dimensions. These are big dimensions. I know for some of you, I said the James River was 4 miles across at the mouth of the river. And some of you would go, well, that's not very far. I live 4 miles from here. Well, then let me ask this. If you live 4 miles or further from here, would you run home today? Does that all of a sudden become a far distance now? 4 miles is a far distance for me right now running, I can tell you that. Most days that I try, I'm lucky to get two. Something about being older is taking effect. Go ahead, Jerry. It gets better, right? Yeah. Folks, think about the dimensions of God's love. Think about how far it goes, how wide it is, how deep it is, how long it is. Think about those dimensions that seem incredible for you. One of the dimensions that was incredible for me one day while Dan and I were in England, we decided to ride the underground into England one day, into London one day, and just walk around town. After about 3 or 4 hours of walking around town, paying no attention where we were going, hey, let's just walk down that street. Okay, let's walk down that street now. Hey, let's walk down that street. Here's what came to me. I am 4,000 miles from home. I have never been in this town before, and I'm paying no attention to where I'm going. At the moment, that seemed like a pretty far distance, 4,000 miles from where I'm comfortable and where I know things and aware of things. You see, Paul desires for us to be filled with the full measure of God. The full measure of God. Think about all those distances. Think about the distances you know. And God wants to fill you completely with who God is. I know. We can't really contain that, can we? 2.6 million light years away from us is the closest galaxy, and God's love is there too. Amen? And God's love is right here with us right now. And God says, no matter who you are, I love you. Now, I gave you some dimensions to try to get a hold of some of this. Well, guess what? Paul finishes this up by saying, you ain't going to do it. Okay, well, he doesn't say ain't, but he does, if you translate it right. Because I think Paul was from the South. Listen to what Paul says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. Did you catch all those words? Paul declares that we will never be prepared, or that we will never be able to measure all God will and can do in us and through us. Paul declares that we will never be able to measure all God will and can do in and through us. So when you come to me as pastor and you say, Pastor, we can't do that, I'll say, why not? If I thought about doing it, you know what Paul says here? I didn't think hard enough. I didn't think deep enough. I didn't think long enough. I didn't think most completely, because it says what? God will do more than we can ask. Immeasurably more than we can ask. I don't know about you, but I can ask for a lot of things. Can you? And God's willing to do more than you can ask. Now, maybe some of you have put your imagination away and haven't used it in a number of years. I would encourage you to get it out and start using it again. Because Paul says, if you imagine, God can do more than that. And how does God do it? God does it with God's power, where? In us. Why do we need to know these dimensions? Because God wants to do that within us and through us, Paul says. More than we can imagine. I can imagine, I'm going to guess that you can do this too. I can imagine this church full and not a seat left. Can you? Can you imagine that? What did Paul say? God says, God can do more than that. You're imagining too small. I can imagine this church being full and us having to bust all these windows open because people are standing outside and want to hear. And God says, I can do more than that. I can imagine every room in this church being used every day of the week and full to capacity. And God says, I can do more than that. What can you imagine? That's just so far out there, it's not possible. I can imagine running a marathon and winning. Okay, that one's not going to happen. Because I found out I can't get to that distance. But God can do more than we can ask, more than we can imagine, in us, through us, to save this community, to save our country, to save this world. From this very street corner, we can bring the word of Jesus Christ to somebody in Russia.
Amen.
I can imagine that. Can you? I don't know anybody in Russia right now. But I can imagine that can happen. I'll share one last thing with you that I never believe. I still find it hard to believe God did it. With the young college students that I was their Sunday school teacher and their deacon in my home church, we sat down one time with a world map. And we all sat in a circle around it. And we said, we're pointing at the map and at different countries on the map. And we said, God, we don't know how, but use us to reach people here. Use us to reach people here. Use us to reach people here as we thought about different places on the map. In the months ahead, one of the people sitting around that circle got moved to Arizona for a job. And they traveled from Arizona to China for their job. Somebody else sitting around that circle was in the Navy, and they got reassigned to another duty station. You know what started happening to us? God, we're a group of people that really support and help and encourage one another in tremendous and wonderful ways. Why are you separating us? Why can't we be a group anymore? We're helping one another, encouraging one another. And then we realized God was answering our prayer. And God did it in ways that we never would have imagined would happen. I'm not there anymore. One of the girls that sat around that table with that map ended up staying right there, and I think she was the only one. And she had learned how to be a disciple, and she had learned to do great things about sharing her faith. And she had a birth defect that she never would have lived, they told her, that she would never live past age 18. In her 30s, she died. And I went back and I said, Lord, why? Why couldn't she still live? Why couldn't she still be alive? She was so good at teaching people how to come to Jesus Christ. Why? Why? At her graveside, I found out why. There was an incredible number of young people that had come to know Jesus Christ. Because she knew God's love and was sharing it with other folks. And I don't know how that's expanded now. And that was, gosh, that was almost 25 years ago. Where have all the people gone that she touched their hearts around the world now? We sat around that map and prayed, God, use us. What if we imagine the same way here and see what God does? So I want to ask you, are you prepared to be filled with all the fullness of God? Far past what you can measure, ask, or imagine. Far past what you can measure, ask, or imagine. Because honestly, if you ever come to me and say, Pastor, that's impossible. Good, we found the right thing to do because we serve a God that does impossible things. Amen? God saved the likes of you and me. Was that not an impossible thing? Well, maybe it wasn't for you, but I know it was for me. Let God love you. Let God love you in such tremendous ways that you can't hold on to it. Let's pray. Lord, it's not easy to walk this path you've asked us to walk. It's difficult. It's hard. It's not what the world calls successful. But Lord, some of us realize how successful it really is because one day we get to stand face to face with you and get to hear you say, "Do you know how much I love you? Are you aware of the fullness of love that I have for you?" And Lord, maybe we need to hear that now. Just as at Jesus' baptism, he heard the words that say, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased, and I love him." Lord, we need to hear those words. And we need to realize that you're the God of the impossible. And we need to stop selling ourselves short, because it's you that's really doing it, in us and through us. So may we come to know how deep, how wide, how long, how far your love goes. And may we take that love to the people of this world that need it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.